Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin, increasing and reaching your child's full potential. Each week, our objective is to help you as a parent, guardian, or loved one direct the path of a young person by empowering you with knowledge and understanding. Each week, you will be enlightened and moved into a position of positive parental involvement and influence. I am Phyllis Austin, and I am the founder of the National Parent Education Center, where we educate parents on education, help parents create quality education for their child, and advocate with parents on educational issues. Hi, and welcome to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin. I want to thank you for joining us. And of course, you can call in. Or join us on our chat line. You call in and listen to the show. Our call in number is 347-855. I'm getting feedback. Hold on for a second. Getting feedback in my microphone. I don't know why. Okay. 347-855-8603. Again, that's 347-855-8603. And our show is called Building the Village, the Rearing, Raising, and Education of Our Children Matter. Okay? Moving our children to a higher position of concern. But before we get into our topic, I really want to mention, I would be remiss in not mentioning what happened in South Carolina at the AME church there. But I want to tell you my association with the AME Church. I'm my father, Reverend George G. Cooper, was an AME minister. And they really believe in the village concept, like just no other one that I can think of at the time, at this time. But I want to tell you about my personal experience. It was the that AME village got me out of a particular situation up at Howard University. I'm not going to tell you what it was, but I will tell you this. My father had to make a phone call, and anyone who's in college knows you never want your father to get that phone call from the dean. And he had to make a phone call to his village, and that village included Dr. Satterwhite. And the next thing I knew, when I walked into my dorm room, I was confronted with this stotch. This reverend, iconic figure, Dr. Salaroy, and I just remember that his watch was just a man of distinction. he was Dr. Cheeks' neighbor. Dr. Cheeks at that time was the president of Howard University. So I would be remiss in not offering my gratitude for the coming together of that village. The AME Church, so it was wonderful to see. And just to let you know that AME churches, they do have colleges and universities, so this is really right in line, having that moment. I watched the video this morning of the ceremony, and having seen that, I just wanted to reemphasize a lot of the great things that they do. One of the members on the board, Reverend Sandy Rogers, she talks about the AME Church that she was affiliated with in California. So we just want to send our prayers and our understanding and uplifting that congregation and the families who supported and who attended the church in South Carolina. And again, that leads us into the building the village. So I invite you to call in if you hear something interesting. And also to call in with comments. Our call in number is 347-855-8603. So let's talk about this building of the village, the rearing, raising, and education of our children matter. Now, let me say this. I thought about three things that instantaneously came to mind as I was putting this show together, the rearing, the raising, the education. So I want to go into each one of those because we operate here at the National Parent Education Center, that's the founder, and of course, Class One DNA is the show that I get to say things that I can't say as the founder of the nonprofit. But Class One DNA, I can say certain things, okay? I can talk about things that lead to political views and everything. But at the National Parent Education Center, we really believe in building that village, and that, of course, carries on to the discussion in the classroom, Classroom DNA. And so, I want to start with the first action that we must take as a village, the rearing of our children. I looked up the word rear because I want you to understand what rearing is. The definition of rearing: to take care of and support up to maturity. To take care of and support up to maturity. Then that immediately implies that's from the time that your child comes into existence. It should be from the time, not physical existence in the world, it should be coming to the time that you actually know that you're pregnant, that you're conceiving, okay? To take care of and support up to maturity. So we're talking about from the time. Because if you're going to go to something, you have to come from something. So what's the from? The from is going to be from the time the child comes into existence. The to is going to be maturity, and we're going to talk about that later. But let's talk about the from part. From the time they come into existence, okay, that means there is the recognition that child is in existence. Now, you can say birth. I think that there's some lag time there. I think existence is really when you find out that you know that you're pregnant or you're going to conceive, but we can start with birth. So from zero to maturity, and we talk about maturity later, there's this time. Well, let's mention maturity. Now, let's say the less mature time is going to be 18, okay, legally. So let's say a minimum of 18 years of taking care and supporting this child. That's it. It's simple. You have to be one of the goals, the village that you bring together, and you're being the primary leader, being the parent, have to take care and support the child to maturity. Now, I want to go through all of these before I go back because I'm going to talk about another aspect of everything. Then there's raising, okay? No, I want to go back. Raising. The lifting or movement to a higher position or level. That tells us there's steps in this growth process, steps in raising or rearing the child. So as we go from zero to maturity, we get to lift. In the steps, we're taking them higher and higher and higher. Because when they're a child at zero, they don't know how to take care of themselves. Okay? And that's the one term of mean of maturity. It's development, both mind and body. We're going to get back to that. But we're trying to the raising, we're lifting them up higher and higher and higher, okay, until they get to maturity. And again, we're going to come back to that meaning. Next, the third step, to educate. And two definitions: to develop the faculties and powers of a person by teaching instruction or schooling, to qualify by instruction or training for a particular calling, practice, etc. And faculties is one of the definition of faculties is their abilities, where they're natural or acquired for a particular kind of action, powers, ability to do or act, capability of doing and accomplishing something. So right away, I just want to try to get an idea of this picture that we have. So from zero to maturity, we are responsible in that time that the village is responsible as we build our village. The village is responsible for supporting the child, taking care of the child, raising the child. They go into steps. They increase in the knowledge. They get to that point of maturity and educating them to develop their unique, what I'm going to call their uniqueness. Okay, so now the question is, who's in your village? Because you're building your village. Who's in your village? What people have you allowed to come into your village to be around your child? And what roles do they play? or do they play any role? We put out a poll this week, and we list the roles of villagers. And we didn't get a lot of response, and that kind of made me think, we need to talk about this. Because if we're living by this African proverb, takes a village to raise a child, do we even know what our roles are in the village, how we selected one? Okay? So we're going to, I want you to ponder on that. We're going to go to a commercial break, and then we're coming right back. And we're going to talk about each one of these actions, things that we have to do to build a village, okay? It takes the village to raise a child. Because as I always say, as our women go, our children go, as our children go, there's the community. Okay, so we'll be right back. We'll go to a commercial break. We'll be right back to discuss each one of these, each aspect of building the village. Okay? We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Phyllis Austin, founder of the National Parent Education Center. When I first started this organization, I wanted to make sure that parents understood what a quality education is and what it looks like. Do you know that most state constitutions only provide for an adequate education? Here at the National Parent Education Center, we help parents create and receive a quality education for their child. Please support our efforts by making a $5 donation. You may donate more, but please donate. Visit tnpec.org and donate now. Thank you.
Okay, welcome back to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin. We are talking about building the village. Okay, and you as a parent or anyone, you're just around people. We're going to talk about those roles in 1 second. We're going to get to them. But feel free to call in. Our call-in number is 347-855-8603. Again, that's 347-855-8603. And we're talking about building the village. Okay, and so the first role we said is rearing, to take care of and support up to maturity. And I want to get to this word maturity, because we know if we're going to go to something, we have to come from something. And we already discussed that. The from is from that child. The legal obligation is 18 in the United States. However, maturity really means fully developed in mind and body as a person. And I would tell you now that young people, the forebrain, which is responsible for logical thinking and humans, don't fully develop until their 20s. So if we really want to look at what we're talking about, we're talking about supporting that child into their 20s, okay? And I'm okay with that because I understand maturity. As a science teacher and as a parent and as an educator, I understand maturity. And I want to send a shout-out to someone I admire, Ms. Purdue. She gave me the title of educator this week. So she did a hashtag. I said, she said, education, educator. I said, well, thank you, because I always say I'm an educator, not a teacher, but to for someone else to, like, put it out there, great. She has a great outreach in the community. So let's go back to this. Maturity. I understand this term because when I look at my children, I have been able to watch them grow. My personal biological twin that I delivered, that came out of me, through me, I've been able to watch them grow and to know that it really took those few years into their 20s to get to the point where their thinking was pretty sound, where I felt comfortable in just saying, okay, I think they fully developed. I can start to the process of releasing more. We never want to be disconnected, but releasing more. Because even when they go to college, oh, Lord, even when they go to college, you just don't feel like they're ready to be released, okay? So they go to college or wherever that next step is when they leave the house and whatever naturally you just feel maybe just a little bit more. And you just hold on until you see something. You don't know when you're going to see it. It may happen in a conversation. You may hear it in a conversation. It's an aha moment. You're like, oh, my God, they got it. And you're able, it's like a release. You're able to just break away more and more and more. But I always say the 20s in general is that time where kids do often make more serious mistakes when they make mistakes, it has a greater impact because now they are considered adults. And especially in our community, the laws, the consequences, as someone say, we don't have a lot of leeway to make certain errors. A good friend of mine who's working on her doctorate degree, there's not a lot of room for error as we raise our children in the African American community. There's not a lot of room for error. So we really have to be observant and have great communication skills with our children. I would say up until 29 or 30, because there's not a lot of room for error in our community for mistakes. So now we have to look at that. Now we have the timeline from zero to maturity. That means we're not going to release our children without parent support. And we have to, at 13 or 14, when I see kids walking down the street by themselves or outside and everything, one role we, as a village, we have to be responsible for rearing them and then raising them. That's increased growth. You as a parent must recognize those steps when the child is trying to grow, because now we're in the raising. The raising goes from zero to maturity, but we know it's gradual. It's a step-by-step process. And in raising, we lift them, moving to a higher position or level. But the first mindset that you as a parent must have is a mindset of concern. If you're not concerned about your child, it's going to be very hard to rear them, help and support, and to raise them. Okay? When they become teenagers, I hear some of the dumbest things parents say, well, I'm going to find out for themselves. Are you serious? Do you know what the consequence of that action is for them to find out for themselves? There's no way. If they do something that seems like an adult move, and they're not ready, you know they're not ready to be treated as an adult, here's something you can say. And I've said this a lot. I'm going to help you be grown. I'm going to help you transition into adulthood. And usually what that means, I'm going to give them for their adult that they have taken that I might disagree with, I'm going to give them an adult responsibility, okay? And that is going to do either one or two things. First of all, it's going to stop them saying, no, there's no backtracking. We already know you're going into adulthood. I can tailor the responsibility because it's going to be age appropriate, but I can kind of nugget it, okay? Distributing little nuggets, well, let's do this. But I will tell them, you're going to go through this because you did an adult decision. And that's just understanding you have to look at the other side of what the possibilities of the consequences could be. So let's institute you did an adult action, a grown-up action, so let's do a grown-up responsibility. Okay? And that tends to work very well after we have the grown-up conversation about the grown-up action you did. And we come to a grown-up responsibility because I'm not going to stop you and say, why you do this, why you do that, that makes no sense, da, 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 you're a child. No, if you did it, that means, that's telling me you're ready to grow, okay? And I have to help you grow and get to maturity. I'm trying to think of, I've done this a lot. So, I'm just trying to think of something that I can share. Because another thing that we want to do, our children want to value them. We don't want to explode their whole life across the radio. So I'm trying to think of something. Okay. I'm not going to share any of those things with you. But if I think of something before the end of the show that I can share, I will share, okay? And I'll probably third-party it, okay, and say, well, I knew someone whose child did this. Okay, but the next action that the village must perform. It's to educate, to develop the faculties and powers of a person by teaching, instruction, or schooling. So let's look at faculties. Faculty means an ability, natural or acquired for a particular kind of action. I call this the diverse uniqueness of our children in the community. They have unique abilities. Some are natural, some have been acquired. And we have to educate to develop those faculties. And this may be kind of hard because parents want to see the uniqueness in one way versus another. I was in a store yesterday, and a gentleman came up to me and said, "Is that your child?" And I said, "No." And then went to the next person and said, "Your child?" She said, "No, that's my nephew." And the gentleman said, "I'm a coach. I'm playing football." And the mother said, "Well, this one is going to be just a brainiac in the family." Said the other one who got a scholarship to football, he's the football. This one is the brainiac. But what was that? That was someone recognizing the unique abilities of each child. Just because the young man was kind of stocky, matter of fact, the young man said, "I'm not interested in football." But that was good because the parents didn't push him into football. They understood his uniqueness. And he wanted to develop those things. And I can talk all day about my children's uniqueness. But you want to develop those things. And then the powers is the ability to the point of them having powers to do exceedingly great things in that ability. Okay? And just, you know, when you talk about educate, I always say this. We have to take greater responsibility for how we educate our children. And this is a prime example. Just looking at the definitions of the term to educate, teaching, instruction, and schooling, it's unfathomable that you will allow others to have full responsibility for educating your child. If you don't see their uniqueness and support those things, you're going to get, I'm not here to say that others may not see their uniqueness, but to turn over that responsibility to them. Okay, now I remember others seeing something in my child that I didn't even know she had. Okay, she was at the rec center, and it was doing a talent show. And the lady came to my husband, and I said, "Do you know your daughter does this singing or acting and everything?" He said, "No." Okay, but once they did a talent show for the summer and we saw this, we didn't turn over that responsibility to her. We was gracious. We were kind. We said, "Thank you for bringing this out of our child. We did not know." But it was our responsibility at that time. It was up to us to develop that talent. It was the same thing with the oldest child, our son. Once he excelled in his uniqueness, his talent, okay, I never forget, I think I told you he wanted to, his entrepreneurship mind was going at 13. And I'm thinking, well, that's just too much responsibility. And someone said, "No, let him go, let him flourish." And then you start developing that, you start giving them more and more responsibilities. Okay, I need you to do the workshop, to help me with a workshop, and I'm going to pay you. And he started learning about all these different things. So a lot of times what we see in our community, the reason why our children are not reaching their full greatness is because we turned over the education to someone else. Now, we think about education in terms of schooling and getting some knowledge, but the true development of the faculties and powers of them as a person and who they are and those unique things about them, those uniqueness, whether it be natural or acquired, we're turning that over to somebody else. It's their responsibility to educate them. We have yet to look at the full scope of what education is. You're listening to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Alston. We're talking about building the village, okay? The rear race and education of our children matters, moving our children to a higher position of concern. Okay, as they go through the step-by-step process, and our goal is to get them to the position of greatness. We're going to go to a commercial break, and we'll be right back. Of course, feel free to call in at 347-855-8603. Again, that's 347-855-8603. Hi, I'm Phyllis Austin. You know, parenting is very difficult. I don't know too many parents who can raise a child to 18 years of age without getting stuck, not knowing what to do. So I would like you to visit householddna.com and view the Household DNA Parenting Pyramid. Learn about the 7 principles of parenting, 4 of which you should be actively doing every day. Next, visit phyllisaustin.com and click on the Power Bookstore for great parent resources. You can pick up my latest book, God Has Not Forgotten You, written for teenagers and college students. While there, get your copy of my ever-popular book, From Parent to Power, Don't Parent in Fear. Visit PhyllisAustin.com today for your book and parent resources. Thank you. Okay, welcome back to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin. We're talking about building the village, the rearing, raising, and education of our children matters. Moving our children to a higher position of concern and greatness. I want you to take a look around and ask yourself, who's in your village? Who have you selected to be around your child, and what are their roles? We put out a poll in our online class when we testing the site, and that's just an update. We're still testing. And we put out a poll, and the poll describes six primary roles, I think, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6 primary roles in the community. One was the parent, the primary nurturer, the grandparent, historian and guide promoting family progress and delivering wisdom and knowledge, the godparent, the co-nurturer, the elder, the person who elicits wisdom, the man, protector, seeker, and sharer of knowledge, the woman, the compass, seeker, and sharer of knowledge. And we put this out there and put on Facebook, and we wanted you guys to take a poll, and it's still up, just to let you know. We're going to go revisit that, and I'll talk more about that later. And we only got 6 responses. Now, I'm going to tell you, everybody who saw it, they said, great, 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 love the post, love the post, love the post. They clicked to go and identify a role. They didn't do it. And we looked at the number of people who helped to test the link, because if you notice, if you went in there and went in to test the link one day and went in there 3 days later, it changed. Well, we updated based on the feedback we were getting. And not everyone selected a role. Parents, you need to know the roles people are planning your life and in your child's life. What role are they playing? What role are they playing in your life or your child's life? It is time out not to select a position. If you're going to be around me and you're going to be around my family, you're going to be around my children, I need to know what role you decide you're going to play. Are you going to help and support? Are you going to rear? Are you going to share knowledge? Are you going to seek knowledge, bring it back to share so the family can grow, so we can grow? Are you going to be the historian to keep us from making repeated mistakes, help us be a compass, share? And this is very important. You'd be surprised the number of people I speak to about the online national, our national online classroom, and they say, I'm good. I'm okay. My child's doing fine. I'm homeschooled. Okay? What role? What's your primary? And we asked really what's our primary role. You can have more than one role. And I said this, okay, that's great, but I want you to share the information. Oh, that's not our first thought process. Our first train of thought is I. So I started to think, wow, that's a problem in our community because we don't think about the sharing, about the others, about I can take this information, it's good for me, but we have to share. We have to help someone else along the way so our living will not be in vain. We have to share the knowledge, and that's a role. So a lot of times, even if you're not a parent, whether you select man, woman, we have a role. We say with the man, we say a protector, seeker, and sharer of knowledge. Your role as a woman, the compass. You'd be good at directing stuff, seeker and sharer of knowledge. So what role? You have to pick. You got to get off the fence. There's a whole African proverb that says every day the lion gets up and must run faster than the slowest gazelle in order to survive. And every day the gazelle gets up and has to run faster than the faster lion to survive. So every day you're going to pick a side to play offense or defense. You're going to be offense some days and be the lion. Some days you might have to play defense and be the gazelle. But every day you have to get in the game and play. If you're on the football field, you don't decide you're going to play offense or defense. You're in the middle of the field. You're going to get run over and crushed. So we have to look at what our roles are. We have to be real honest. And as an organization, we look at data every day. Now, our goal, our update was to release and start educating on Monday seminars. But based on the data, which is not the maximum number, at least the minimum number of people we need to test our website and to take polls so we can find out how to tweak it. We're going to have a town hall meeting, and we will be bringing that to you. And one thing you can say, everything that we said we were going to do about our national online classroom, we're doing it from the national parent education side of it. But again, you, this is your classroom, okay? It's your. Your. And I'm including that your, our, or maybe I should say this is our classroom, the national. Let's scratch your, let's say our. This is our classroom. We are the vehicle, okay? But we are all in this together. We are all villagers. And if we see that our communities, our village is lacking, we see there's too much balance, we need to remind ourselves, good begets good. Evil and hate begets evil and hate. Good begets good and love begets love. If you have a glass of dirty water and somebody put it in front of you, think about, will you choose the dirty water or the clean water? Okay? You choose clean water. But let's say you have dirty water and someone, let's say it's about 4 ounces or 8 ounces to glass, and someone takes a pitcher of water, about a gallon, and pour that pitcher of water into that 8-ounce glass containing dirty water, eventually the dilution will occur. Well, you probably feel all right. It might just be a little bit dirty, but I'm going to drink it to survive. Okay? When we talk about evil or something violent to our community, it's nothing but a lack of good. So as you have problems and conflict and problems with harmonious relationships, it's because there's not enough good going in. And I told you last week, I implored you to think differently. And then you have to look at the ratio. For people say negative things to one another in your household, it takes about 10 good things to cancel out the negative. It's not one for one. So as we build this village, because it takes a village to raise a child, as we build this village, we have to think about rearing, raising, and education, and the roles that the people are going to play, that you allow to come into your village. Everybody needs to have a role. You need to know their role. And if they're not willing to accept a positive role, and you don't know the role, you don't need to let them be around you. As the older people used to say, what's the story? What's the story, baby? What do they want? You know? You have to listen. You haven't been listening to Class on DNA with Phyllis Austin, so I gave you some of the update of our national online classroom. We are going to go into our town hall meetings beginning this week. We have pushed back our first seminar about 4 weeks toward the end of July. You know that's the final date because we have to get it in before school starts, okay? South school starts early, okay? But we're going into our town hall meeting, and, you know, I just think that I might even do some local town halls at schools and just say, hey, I'll be there and come in and talk. Because we really need to discuss education in detail in the building of our village and how to build it constructively so we'll feed everybody in the village. And because it truly takes a village to raise a child. And we're going to turn this around. We have faith that that's going to happen. And we know that it's already done in God's name. So I'm glad that you're with us. I'm going to go to a quick commercial break and return. For Classroom DNA show topics and information, text TNPEC.org to 23559. Again, for Classroom DNA show topics and information, text TNPEC.org to 23559. The town hall meeting is going to serve two purposes. One is going to help us talk about education, understand why we need to have our national online classroom, but understand that we are a village. We're all in this together. We are all villagers. We also need to test. We need 1,000 people to test the site to move forward, and we need to expand the site to make sure that we can meet the number of people we want to service this year. And those numbers we need to definitely reiterate. So I want you to keep in mind two numbers. One is 1,000. We need 1,000 people to test our website. And the other one is 5,500. That's $5,500 we need to raise. Now, I will say, since our campaign has started, we have raised a miraculous $55. Okay? That didn't include a 25 from me to go on and test it. So if you see that 30, actually it's 5 raised. We need to raise $5,500. Okay, we need to get to webinar status, and right now we are not there. We wait. Of course, we knew we were going to wait to put in the full LMS learning management system. Okay. And then do our boots on the ground to get into the schools and to make sure that you guys are able to connect physically with some of these, but our organization and train advocates and parents and everything. So the full scope is yet to come. We have faith. We know it's going to come. But right now we do need $5,500 to get to webinar status. And if you have visited our online national classroom, it's really nice. It's easy to get into. We're not getting a lot of feedback in terms of the problems, but we have yet to have a large number of people enter at one time to see what happens on the client side and to see what happens on our side, okay? And we need to do that testing. So we will go into town hall meetings beginning this week, and then we need to also raise the $5,500 to get to webinar status. That's the minimum level we need to be, at which we need to be to educate the number of people we need to educate. We would like to get to a greater status than that, but at webinar status, that's the start. And webinar status means we can work with up to 1,000 people can come in, can join our seminars at one time. Right now, we're at the lowest level, which is 100. Well, that's not the lowest. We're at a low level of 100 people, and I think our town hall meeting is going to quickly reemphasize that we can't move forward with that number and accomplish all the goals that we want to accomplish. We need to get to that webinar status. So you have been listening. So this week, do more testing. When you see the town hall links come out, tell others, share, take the poll. And I want to thank you. And then remember, in building the village, don't let someone come into your environment with your children. You don't know what role they're going to play. You don't have an idea. And if their actions are not supporting what they say they're going to do as far as the role they're going to play in your child's life, kick them to the curb, boo them out, kick rocks, slam the door. We're on the road to greatness here. And I remember saying this to someone. I'm moving up, okay? I'm just not going to be down here in the gutter, okay? And you have to establish your standard and where you want to go. But I will tell you, going back to, I said, if I thought of an example that I felt I could share with you, I will. I never forget when people, when you tell people not that they need to pay and spend their money on something, and the person takes their money and say, "I'm going to buy this." I said, "That's a grown-up move. So let's do it the right way. Let's sit down and look at if you want to be able to use this room and have certain amenities that you feel much deserving, then let's do a ratio. The space that this room encompasses, that would be the amount of money you donate monthly to the support of that room. And you have more leeway on what you can do in that room." Okay? I think it boiled down to just closing the door at certain times. Because, you know, I'm not a door closer. You can't close the doors in the household. They have to be open. But that very quickly resolved once the person realized that their money that they made from their job was dumb. They didn't want to go to certain things, but they could open their door just a little bit more and be at ease. So what were we doing? We was just incorporating, getting to understanding that things cost. You have to pay a certain amount. And I've never understood why parents felt or parents feel the need. They can't, there's a debate all the time between what a kid, what you want the child to do in your house and what they want to do. It's a debate. And I never went to, I pay the cost to be the boss. Okay? I never really said those things because I already knew it. Duh. I'm not going to reemphasize something I already know. Why do I have to say I already know that? But as you want to transition, let's look at what is paid and what you need to start paying so you can have more liberties. And that helps them get to the adulthood. Plus, it kind of helps them think about some of the things that they want to say. You have been listening to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin. I honor and I welcome and I appreciate your presence here today. Until next time, and look for those links to for our town hall meeting. We're going to do several this week, and then hopefully next week we're going to do several more. Well, we're going to do several. We're just going to town hall out the rest until we get to our classroom, our first classroom. But what we want to do, again, we want to raise ourselves. We want to lift it to a higher position more and more, get to the webinar status so we can really do what needs to be done for our children to create a fabulous village so they will know that they matter outside in society. And society, well, and more importantly, we're telling society they matter. You're just not going to do anything you want to do with children. It's just not going to happen, especially not on my watch. Love you, bless you, appreciate you, thank God for you. Until next time, as always, I'm going to play two songs as we end. You are, if I like serve somebody, you're going to serve somebody, okay? Let's play that little clip.